words do you think of when you think of God? Maybe you think of words like wonderful, creator, holy, father. Maybe you think of words like all-knowing or powerful. What do you think of when you hear the words fear or afraid? Maybe you think of things that make you afraid or fearful, things like thunderstorms or floods, someone dying, or someone being sick. Maybe you're afraid of being alone, or maybe you're afraid of not being accepted by others, or maybe you're just afraid of the dark. But which one is greater? Is God greater, or is the things that we fear greater? Which one is greater? Our memory verse for today is found in 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. 2 Timothy is from the New Testament part of the Bible. A man named Paul wrote the book of 2 Timothy. He wrote it as a letter to a young man named Timothy. Now, Paul was given the words from God, and Paul wrote them down. So they are God's words, but Paul wrote them down. Our memory verse is found in 2 Timothy. There's two letters that Paul wrote to Timothy, 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. The memory verse for today is found in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. It says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind." 2 Timothy 1, 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Well, God, He is the Creator. He does not give a person fear. Fear is a feeling of worry because of what might happen. If someone has that kind of fear, it's not from God. God does not want you to fear. He wants you to trust Him. So if God has not given us a spirit of fear, what has He given us? He has given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Power. Well, God gives strength. He gives ability to do things. God helps you to do what He asks you to do. God also gives you the spirit of love. God gives you His love and His affection, His care. And also, He gives you a spirit of a sound mind. God gives you calmness and quietness in your mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. God does not give people the spirit of fear. He gives people the spirit of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. If you have believed on Jesus as your Savior, God does not want you to be afraid or worry about what might happen. Instead of being fearful, you can trust God for a calm mind and a peaceful heart. God can do this because He lives inside you if you have believed in Him. And God can do it because He is all-powerful. He has all the power there ever is or ever will be. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. You cannot trust God with your fears until you have believed on Jesus to save you from your sin. And today, you can make that decision to believe on Jesus and to ask Him to save you from your sin, which is your biggest problem. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. Have you ever been afraid? What makes you afraid? Maybe you're afraid of the dark. Maybe you're afraid when you see shadows on your wall in the night and you don't know what is making that shadow. Maybe you're afraid of a dog that could bite you. Maybe you're afraid of a bully at school. What do you do when you're afraid? Maybe you run or hide. Sometimes fear can cause you to do strange or even dangerous things. Did you know that your mommy or daddy could be afraid of things too? Yeah, adults, grown-ups can be afraid of things too. Let's see what happened to a king and a soldier who let fear guide their actions. One day, David was thinking, "One day I will perish by the hand of Saul. I must escape to the land of the Philistines. Saul will never look for me there. I'll be safe at last." I'm sure David had those feelings as he continued to hide from King Saul in Israel. David seemed to lose hope. He was afraid of Saul. It seems that David had forgotten God's promise that one day he would be king. Do you remember that Samuel, the prophet of God, had anointed David as the next king of Israel? And that had happened several years ago. He'd forgotten that God cared for him. Without asking God what he should do, David decided on his own plan. It was to take his 600 men and their families and travel to the land of the Philistines. Remember that the Philistines were the enemies of the Israelites, the enemies of God's people. David and his men went to the city of Gath. Now, the city of Gath was a town in the land of the Philistines. Remember that when David killed that giant Goliath? Goliath actually lived in the town of Gath, meaning this was Goliath's hometown. When David got there, he went to speak with the king of that city, and the king's name was King Achish. David pretended that he turned against Saul and now wanted to help the Philistines. King Achish believed David and thought of how valuable David would be to the Philistine army. King Achish gave David and his men the city called Ziklag for their homes. Well, as David and his 600 men and their families went to the city of Ziklag, David must have felt very relieved. He was finally safe. Everything was working out very well. He and all his men were going to live in a Philistine city. But David was not following God's plan for his life, and soon trouble began. In order to keep King Achish believing the lie that David had said, David had to prove he was loyal to King Achish, the Philistine king. To do that, David and his men attacked several smaller enemies. And David, who was going to be the next king of Israel, added to his lie. He told another lie to King Achish, and he told King Achish that he had attacked Israel. King Achish believed David, and he only got to trust David more. Oh boy, David is telling lies to the king of the Philistines, King Achish. One day, King Achish called David to come before him. He seemed especially excited. He told David that the Philistine army was planning to attack Israel. And then King Achish said to David, "Of course, you and your men will march with us into battle." David was very sad. What had he done? His lies had gotten him into a very big problem. Israel was David's country, David's home, his people. Now King Achish wants David to go attack his own people? David must have felt very sick inside as he thought of fighting against King Saul and his best friend Jonathan, the prince. Instead of trusting God, David had ignored God's plan. David let fear control and defeat him, and now he was very afraid. Do you sometimes let fear control you? If you have believed in the Lord Jesus as your Savior, God wants you to look to Him for victory over problems. All of us are afraid at times. Maybe you've been afraid of a bully at school, or you're afraid of the dark, or you're afraid of those shadows on the wall. It's not a sin to have a fearful thought. There are things you should be afraid of, like running into traffic on a busy road or a highway. That kind of fear reminds you to be careful and keeps you safe. That's why your parents tell you to look both ways before you cross the street, because they don't want you to get hurt. That kind of fear is good. It reminds you to be careful and keeps you safe. But when fear controls you and makes you worry about what might happen and keeps you from making good decisions, things usually get worse and worse. Do these kind of fearful thoughts come from God? Nope, they don't. Those thoughts come from God's enemy, Satan. Satan knows that if you let fear control you, you might tell lies or do other sinful things to solve your problems. For example, you might tell your mommy that you're sick because you're afraid of going to school and taking an exam and failing it. It is never God's plan for you to be controlled by fear. What does our memory verse say from today? 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. God can give you victory over your problems if you look to God to help you. Don't be defeated by letting fear control you. But David's decisions were controlled by fear, and now he was more afraid than ever. How could he possibly go fight against his own people, the Israelites? But how could he tell King Achish that he was not willing to go? David was defeated. There's no other way around this. He had to agree to go. It must have been very difficult for him to pretend to be excited about this battle. But they went off to fight the battle. David and his men joined the Philistine army to fight against the Israelites. The Philistine army finally arrived and set up camp at a city called Shunem. King Saul also gathered the Israelite army, and they set up camp at another place called Gilboa. But as Saul looked at the Philistine army, his heart was filled with fear. And why do you think he was afraid? There could have been several reasons why he was afraid. One reason why he was afraid is because he had been disobeying God for a long time. King Saul had not cared to follow God's plan for him or for his people, the Israelites. But now that King Saul faced the Philistines, the enemies, King Saul knew he needed God's help. King Saul asked the Lord what he should do, but God did not answer him. Saul's sin stood between him and God. It separated King Saul from God. Did you know that your sin stands between you and God? And what that means is, your sin separates you from God. Sin is anything you think, say, or do that goes against God's laws. You and I are born wanting to do sinful things. The Bible says all have sinned. But God is holy. That means he's perfect in every way. No sin can be where he is. So sin's punishment is to be separated from God forever. The Lord Jesus, God's perfect Son, said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus left all of heaven's glory to come to earth. He grew up and lived a perfect, sinless life. He willingly took your punishment for sin when he died on the cross. The Bible says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Commendeth means shows or demonstrates. God showed his love to you, in that even though you are a sinner, Christ Jesus died for your sin. Because God loves you, he sent Jesus to the cross where he bled and died, so you would not have to be separated from God. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, given on that cross, was the perfect payment for sin that God required. Jesus was buried, and then he rose again on the third day after, and today he is alive in heaven. You can turn away from your sin and be saved by believing in what Jesus did for you. And then your sin will no longer stand between you and God. It will not separate you from God when you believe in Jesus. But King Saul's sin stood between him and God. His sin separated him from God. So God would not answer King Saul when he prayed to God about what he should do about the enemy. King Saul then thought about his old friend, the prophet of God. Remember him? His name was Samuel. Even though Saul had never been careful to follow Samuel's advice, King Saul remembered that God did speak through the prophet Samuel, but Samuel was dead. Samuel had died already. Saul was desperate. He had to know what to do. Saul was afraid, and his fear was controlling him. Saul did a very sinful thing. He asked his servants where he could find a fortune teller. Now Saul knew that God said his people were not to listen to fortune tellers, or to go to them or talk to them, to be involved with them. In fact, Saul had even made that law like very strict, wanting people to obey it. But now King Saul was asking his servants where he could find a fortune teller. Do you know what a fortune teller is? A fortune teller is one who says they can tell what will happen in the future. King Saul asked his servants where he could find one of these people, a fortune teller. And even though King Saul had certainly tried to make sure that the people in Israel did not go to see fortune tellers, King Saul was now choosing to disobey that. His servants told him where a woman lived, and she was a fortune teller. King Saul put on a disguise, and then he took two of his servants and went at night to find the woman who was the fortune teller, and she also practiced witchcraft too. When he got to her home, King Saul asked her, "Will you perform your witchcraft and call the spirit of someone with whom I wish to speak?" She asked him. Now, she didn't know it was King Saul, because he is wearing a disguise. But the fortune teller asked this man, "Whose spirit do you want?" And Saul, remember, he is disguised, so she doesn't know who he is. Saul answered her and said, "I want Samuel's spirit." He waited, and he watched, and the woman seemed to be in deep concentration, and suddenly she screamed, and Saul said, "What do you see?" And then she said, "I see an old man wrapped in a robe." And somehow Saul knew that was Samuel. The woman suddenly realized that the man in the disguise was King Saul. The prophet spoke to Saul, "Why have you disturbed me?" Saul said, "I am in great trouble. The Philistines are fighting me, and God has left me. He does not answer me anymore. What should I do?" King Saul was able to talk to Samuel. Wow. Samuel answered Saul, "Why do you ask my advice? I told you the Lord would take the kingdom from you and give it to David. Because you have disobeyed, the Philistines will defeat Israel." Oh, that was very terrible news for King Saul to hear. How discouraging. And then Samuel said to Saul, "Tomorrow you and your sons will die, and the Lord will give Israel over to the Philistines." King Saul was so sad when he heard that, and Samuel's spirit went away. When Saul was receiving this terrible news from Samuel, David, who was with the Philistine army, was preparing for an inspection by the Philistine commanders. Each group of soldiers had to march past the commanders for a review to make sure they were ready for the battle. And then it was David's turn. As he and his men passed by, they were ordered to stop. The commanders wanted to know, "What are these Israelites doing here?" King Achish, the king of that part of the Philistines, said, "Don't you know this is David? It's true he comes from Israel, but he's been with us for over a year now. I have found nothing wrong with him since he joined our side." But the commanders of the Philistine army were not convinced. They didn't trust David. They said, "We know who David is. He's the one all Israel has praised. Send him away. If you let him fight with us, he might turn against us and place us into King Saul's hands." King Achish was very sorry to do that. He told David, "I want you to march with my soldiers, but these Philistine commanders don't want you. Get up early in the morning, you and all your men, and return to the city." Oh, David and all of his men must have sighed with relief. They were saved from going to fight against their own people. How good God was to David. The trip back to Ziklag took 3 days. Remember, Ziklag was the place that King Achish gave to David, for David and all his men to live there. On their way back to Ziklag, The men were tired. They were eager to get home and see their families again. But as they got near to the city, something happened. They saw a terrible thing. The city was gone. It was just smoke going on there. It was in ruins. Their wives and children were gone. They didn't know. Were they captured? Were they dead? It must have been their old enemies. These enemies were called the Amalekites. They thought it was the Amalekites who invaded the city, and they knew that David was there. David and his men were so sad. They cried, and soon the sorrow, the sadness that they felt, turned to anger. David's men started to blame David, and they said, "This is David's fault. He should not have allowed all the men to leave Ziklag. There was no one here to defend the city and protect our families." The men were so angry, they even talked about killing David by throwing stones at him. And when I say stones, I don't mean the little stones you use to stone a dog. I mean big stones. Stones that could break your bones and hurt your body and even kill you. David was so worried and afraid and just distressed. He feared for the safety of his family and the families of all of his 600 men. David was also afraid because his men were angry toward him. But this time, David did not let his fear control his actions and defeat him. The Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Instead of giving in to fear, David looked to God for victory. If you've believed on Jesus as your Savior, you don't have to give in to fear. God wants you to look to Him for victory over problems. Sometimes the problems you face can overwhelm you with fear and make you make wrong decisions. When fearful thoughts come, like if you're afraid of a bully at school, or if you're afraid to go to school and take that exam, when those fearful thoughts come, tell God about them, and then thank God that He loves you and ask Him to help you trust Him, to help you get over that problem and get over that fear. Trust God to give you victory over the fear. Thank God that He has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God can give you a calm mind and a peaceful heart, even when it's the most fearful situation. God can give you the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind as you trust Him. God might not solve your problem the way you think He should, but God will always do what's best for you. What a great example it would be for others to see you looking to God for victory over your fear. David remembered he should look to God for victory instead of giving in to his fear. So David asked God what he should do. David said to God, "Should I go after this enemy?" And God replied to David and said, "Go, you will surely overtake them and free the captives." Well, when David heard that, he and his men caught up with the enemies who had done this, the Amalekites. When they found the Amalekites who had destroyed the city of Ziklag, the Amalekites were celebrating with a feast. They were eating and drinking. They didn't expect David to return for months. David's army rushed in to attack, and David and his men defeated the enemies and rescued their families as they looked to God for victory. The families returned together to Ziklag, and they were all very happy. The Bible says that David's army recovered everything that the Amalekites had stolen. David learned it is important to look to God for victory over problems instead of trying to handle things your own way. That is a lesson God wants each of His children to learn. If you believed in Jesus as your Savior, will you look to God for victory over your problems? When you have problems to face, tell God about your problems. Tell Him about your fears, what you're afraid of. And then you can tell God thank you for His love. And ask Him to help you trust Him to give you victory and to help you win over those fears. Remember the memory verse? 2 Timothy 1:7. "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. When you're afraid, you can say these words to God. You can say to God, "Dear God, I am feeling afraid because..." And then you get to say what you want to say. You choose. You fill in that blank. "Dear God, I am feeling afraid because..." You fill that in. Because each one of you might be afraid of something different. And when you tell God what you're afraid of, then you can say more to God. You can tell God, "Thank you for loving me. Please help me trust you instead of being afraid. I know you can take care of this problem in the way that is best for me." You can tell God, "Thank you that you have not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind," just like it reminds us in our memory verse. When God gives you victory over your problem, you can tell God, "Thank you for helping you." But you can't have victory in your life until you first believe on Jesus as your Savior and you ask Him to change your sinful life. If you know that you've sinned and you believe the Lord Jesus died and rose again for you, you can be saved. The Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." That means if you will trust in what Jesus did on the cross to forgive your sin and realize you can't save yourself, but if you believe in Jesus, you can be saved from your sin's punishment. Will you believe on Jesus today? Will you believe that He died and rose again? And will you ask Him to change your sinful life and to give you new life on the inside, to live God's way with God's help, of course? If you're ready to make that decision to believe on Jesus and to ask Him to save you from your sin, then you can tell Him something like this and truly mean it. "Dear Jesus, I have sinned and I am sorry. I believe You died and rose again. Please change me on the inside to live Your way with Your help. Please save me from the punishment of my sin. In Jesus' name, amen." That's all for this time. See you next time. Bye.